Talking now with Hannah Thompson-Weeman. Hannah is the VP of Communications for the Animal Ag Alliance. Thanks for joining us, Hannah. Got some important things to talk about here.
I'm very glad to be chatting with you and kind of spreading the word about some of the issues we're seeing from the Alliance perspective. One of the big roles of the Alliance is to try to keep an eye out for what the next issue may be that may impact animal agriculture. And right now we are following up on an issue, a report that has been released out of the EU, the Eat Lancet Commission.
Eat Lancet. Okay.
It's an organization called the Eat Forum. They got started again over in Europe about 3 years ago in 2016. And they are teaming up with The Lancet, which is a well-respected medical journal, to release this report that intends to tell us all how we need to eat. And they allege that their report is a scientific consensus. I'm using air quotes here for the folks that can't see me. But they contend that their report is really supposed to be the go-to authority for how we all need to eat to save the planet and for our own personal health.
Okay. Guidelines on what we're supposed to eat. Now, these guidelines are based on what desired outcome?
The guidelines that have been developed look at both nutrition and they look at sustainability. And they were put together by a team of about 20 scientists. But it's really important to look at that list of scientists and think about who was missing. Mm-hmm. So the report makes some contentions about how animals are raised and how that's not sustainable. But there were no experts in livestock or animal science or any of those fields involved in the production of this report. So certainly there were some voices and stakeholders that weren't at the table.
So if they're making putting these targets together with they're trying to lower the environmental impact out there, if they don't have any animal production experts on the panel with them, how do they know how the stuff is being produced to begin with?
They make a lot of claims in the report about emissions, but the thing that we need to keep in mind and that we wish the study authors had kept in mind is that all foods have an environmental impact.
Yes.
Whatever we eat was produced in some way that used some sort of resource. So their contention is that the impact of producing animal products must be higher, must be more intense than plant-based options. Now, the report does allow some consumption. The study authors have already come out to clarify that this is not advocating for a vegan diet.
Okay.
They do allow, again, I think the word they used is some, but their definition of some is very, very minuscule in comparison to current dietary guidance.
All right, Hannah, fill me in. Let's save the world. What do we got to limit our consumption to?
If you were to follow these recommendations, you are allowed 1/4 ounce of beef a day.
That's quarter ounce.
Quarter ounce. That's about 7 peanuts if you look at the equivalents in weight. Pork, you can have 1/4 ounce of pork. Dairy, you are allowed 1 glass of milk a day, but no butter. That 1 glass of milk is your dairy allotment for the day. And chicken, you can have the equivalent. I'm not sure. I can't remember what the ounce number is, but it's the equivalent of 1.5 chicken nuggets. For eggs, you can have 1.5 eggs a week. So I'm not sure how you're supposed to divvy up your 1.5 allocated
egg. Well, it gets
messy.
It gets messy.
It's about a fifth of an egg a day, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're supposed to hard boil it and slice it or what you're supposed to do. But it's a very, very small amount. And, of course, their contention is that you are supposed to replace what you would have eaten in animal products with beans, nuts, and other options. But, again, it doesn't look at the full picture because we know that animal products are a nutritional powerhouse. There are things we get, like vitamin B12, protein, that are not as readily available in other products. So, for example, one of their suggestions is to replace beans with replace beef with beans. You would have to eat 3.5 cups of black beans to get the same amount of protein in 3 ounces of steak. That's a lot of black beans. And also, you'd have
I'm a good eater, Hannah. And that's more than I'm going to take in a day.
And you'd be taking a lot more calories, too. You'd be taking in almost 400 calories to get the same amount of protein as an under 200-calorie piece of lean beef.
Right. Amazing. You know, at a quarter of an ounce, a day of beef, it's going to take a long time to get up to, I mean, and I'm not saying that I like to sit down and eat that 16-ounce steak anymore. That's not what I do. That 10 or 12-ounce steak, that's perfectly fine in my world. These guidelines, targets, whatever, are so ridiculously low that they might as well be zero.
And that's the whole contention of the report. And they actually say in the report that one of their recommendation for red meat, so pork, beef, lamb, could be as low as zero.
Yep.
But for argument's sake, they're going to let it be this minuscule amount.
Yeah. See, the reason that they put that quarter ounce on, and I'm just assuming here, the reason that they put a quarter ounce on there is that they can say, well, we didn't say zero.
We would totally agree with that contention. And the fact that there, some of the authors and the leaders of this group have already come out to clarify, oh, this isn't a vegan diet, that's for the exact reason. They knew the enormous amount of pushback they would get from the scientific community, the nutrition community, if they were so bold as to make their recommended diet include no animal products.
Yep.
So we would agree that that's the intention of allowing, again, these minuscule amounts, because we already have a big beef with that, and we're coming out to try to explain the flaws in it. So just imagine the outcry if they had gone so far as to not allow animal products at
all. All right. Hannah, we need to talk more about this at some other time. I get that. But I think it's important for people to understand exactly what the Animal Ag Alliance is, because in a lot of ways, you know, when I see, and this is just how my head works, okay, but, you know, you see those digital maps of here comes a hack attack, there's another hack attack. You guys are kind of our cybersecurity against attacks against animal agriculture.
It's funny you should mention that, because we actually have a couple interactive maps on our website that track exactly what you're mentioning, which is threats to the future of animal agriculture. We were started in 1987, and our mission is to bridge the communication gap between farm and fork. And as I mentioned, a huge part of that is monitoring what the groups who are opposed to animal agriculture have to say about our industry and what strategies and tactics they're going to be using against us. And that's one of the big reasons we're so concerned about this report, is that these animal rights activist groups are going to latch onto it and run with it and really use it as a reason that more people should stop eating animal products.
You know, and there is a segment of the population out there, Hannah, that is going to look at those target amounts, the recommendations for this diet, and they're going to believe that if we're going to save the world, by golly, we need to limit our beef consumption to a quarter of an ounce a day.
And those people are the target audience for this report. It's people that, again, don't know a lot about animal agriculture.
Right.
They aren't savvy, really.
They're susceptible.
Exactly. And that's who these reports and the activist organizations we've talked about, that's who they're targeting, is that segment of the population that they aren't really supporters of animal rights. They don't have any issues with eating animal products, but they don't know enough about the industry to be able to bounce these myths and claims up against reality. And actually, Dr. Frank Mittlerner, who's an air quality extension specialist from UC Davis, he has had a lot to say about this report. And one of the things he points out is actually, even within the report itself, when they compare the reference diet to normal consumption patterns, it really doesn't show a huge difference. And even in another study cited in the U.S., if everyone went vegan, greenhouse gas emissions would be reduced by only 2%.
Yeah.
It's a very small number. It's not a big impact. So we're wasting all of this time spending all this conversation talking about taking affordable, nutrient-dense products off the table, when we're not talking about things like transportation. And Dr. Mittlerner's also pointed out, think of all the flights these study authors have taken around the country to promote this report.
Yes.
There's a heck of a lot more impact there than there is in eating a nutritious, balanced diet. And those are some of the messages that we need to be talking about to make sure that segment of the population doesn't fall prey to the claims that are being made.
Yeah, I described them as susceptible. They're vulnerable, but they're vocal. So we need to... You need to keep up the work that you're doing, Hannah. We really appreciate it.
And we need help from everyone in animal agriculture, too. So definitely help us. Raise your voice. Talk in your communities. There's a lot of conversation going on social media using the hashtag ClimateFoodFacts. We also have a website specifically with resources about this. So if you're hearing conversation or you want to share positive information, like the fact that greenhouse gas emissions from agriculture, from animal agriculture in the U.S. is less than 4%, our farmers and ranchers are leading the world in innovation, continuous improvement, to use fewer resources, be more sustainable and efficient. Those are the messages we need to make sure everyone is hearing.
Hannah, good stuff. Thank you so much.
Glad to do it.
All right. That is Hannah Thompson-Wieman, the VP of Communications for the Animal Ag Alliance.